If you've been washed in the blood, you can say, I'm clean. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Won't you just lift your heart and hand and say, thank you, Lord, I'm clean. I'm clean through the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. He washed my mind. He washed my heart. He washed my life. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'd already been singing that a lot of today, and what a wonderful thought, the blood of Jesus that has redeemed us. If you turn in your Bible to Romans chapter 12, appreciate the hunger for God's word and the response to the word on Sunday. I believe God is speaking to us. Amen. He's got an idea of what he wants to do with his people and through his people. Amen. Just going to read one verse tonight, if you could stand. I'm not going to exposit this. I just want to share a thought from it tonight. And I want to be of help by the power of the Holy Spirit. But Paul said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It appears we have two options here as a believer. Do you see the two options? We can either be conformed to the world, or we can be transformed by the renewing of our minds. No pun intended, it's a no-brainer for the Christian which option he should choose. What should he choose? He should choose to be transformed by the renewing of the mind. I want to preach tonight on retrain the brain. Retrain the brain. Father, help us tonight. May the teaching be pointed to the need. God, may we be helped by the eternal truth from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I used to hear this quite a bit. Somebody's depressed. Somebody's anxious. Somebody's overcome by worry. Somebody's paranoid. Somebody is overly sensitive. And I would hear somebody give the advice to those in that situation, say, now what you need to do is you need to reprogram your thinking. You ever heard that? Need to reprogram your thinking using computer language. Or you need to reprogram your mind. I've heard it put this way. You need your brain rewired. That's what you need. I want to put it this way tonight. Retrain your brain. I want to tell you, with God's help, a person can have a reprogrammed mind. He can get his wiring straightened out. He can retrain the brain. We really can't. It's both scriptural, and recently, since they've been able to develop the sophisticated equipment, they've actually seen scientifically what the things of God do to the brain. You realize that? Scientifically, they're now able to see what the things of God actually do to the brain. Instead of brain on drugs, you ought to see a brain on God and brain on the Word. And so I want to leave these thoughts with you tonight. First of all, the brain can be changed. The brain can be changed. Now, I want to start negatively, and please, this is very, very important what I'm about to share. This is scientific, and it's very important. It's so concerning because it's so rampant today. But one of the great harms of pornography, beyond putting expectations in the mind that can never be fulfilled, one of the greatest harms of pornography is they have shown scientifically that it literally rewires the brain. It changes the circuitry of the brain. To be involved in that kind of negative activity and sin, I mean, it rewires the brain so the person becomes less social. That doesn't mean they're not around people, but they're not able to relate socially. It changes the brain that the people can no longer enjoy the simple things of life, the good things of life, dinner with a friend, On and on we could go. Because of the rewiring of the circuitry, normal relationships no longer can be enjoyed and entered into. Because pornography, the evil of pornography, actually physically changes the circuitry of the mind. That's disturbing. How many finds that disturbing? It is disturbing. Now, that's the bad news. You said, can there be good news? Yes, because if the focus on something bad can rewire the brain to our spiritual detriment, then the focus of our brain on something good can rewire it to our spiritual benefit. It works the other way, too. You get a hold of God, you get a hold of the Word, you pray, it will literally, and this is scientifically proven now, it will literally change the circuitry of your brain. Pornography rewires the brain, but so does prayer. Prayer can rewire your brain. You know, on the negative side again, the studies also show that long video game playing, being stuck at the computer for long hours, playing the games and doing the social things on your smartphone, very much of that literally changes the patterns and the roots of the neurons and the chemistry composition of your brain. It literally does. You can kind of see it sometimes, the video. I mean, the game's no longer there, but they still got the look, you know. How many's ever seen that look? The brain, you're changing your brain. But on the positive side, you can memorize Scripture. You can read the Bible. You can meditate, and it will literally retrain the brain. Prayer changes the brain. Let me give you one specific example that they have verified with their studies. They had people meditate on Scripture. And what they found, prolonged meditation on Scripture re-affects or rewires the part of the brain that's responsible for compassion. When people meditate on Scripture through their electrodes and all of this, the part of the brain responsible for compassion lights up at great levels. You didn't need that to know that reading the Bible, meditating on the Bible helps you. But now science is saying it really does. It changes the wiring of the brain. Now I want to make this statement. I'm going to make several statements tonight, but I want you to don't leave. Just think about it. Okay? First of all, I want us to know something. We're all brain damaged. I mean, you've been pointing at different ones, and we're not talking about those sadly through handicaps or those, but I want you to know we're all brain damaged. Just look right at me. Don't look at your neighbor. I mean, we are. How many knows we're all brain damaged? We got a few honest ones. Some are so damaged they can't even get their hand in the air anymore. You know, they just the coordination's gone. You know how I know we're all brain damaged? Because we're fallen. Sin. And sin has damaged us. In every way. It damaged our spirit, our emotions, our thinking. It damaged our brains. But I'm going to tell you more than that. We need to realize there are things we can do that will damage the brain. And I know we immediately think of drinking too much and doing drugs, and those things will damage your brain. But there are just bad habits that we develop that damage the brain. There are things we partake of the world that damage. There are attitudes we can adopt that will damage our brain. I mean, it's scientifically proven now. You have a bad attitude long enough, it literally changes the circuitry of your brain. I'm glad he's a healer, don't you? Because if there's things we can do that will damage our brain, there's also things we can let God do and cooperate with God that will repair and retrain and renew our brain. Hallelujah. And I'm going to bear down on this for just a little bit more before I apply it, because I want to talk about those circuits, those patterns of our brain, and just one area of it. And I want to give you the illustration of muscle memory. You know, some of you have shot long enough, you no longer have to think about it. You could pull that gun out, go through all the procedures of safety, all the procedures of preparing to aim, and you can do that without thinking because you did it so many times. You put that circuit in the brain. It's in the muscle memory part of the brain. It's there. You know, some of you that play musical instruments, at first you had to think about, you know, if you play the piano, you had to think about, now how do I make a G chord? How, you know, what is that? Oh, there it is. There's you had to think. And every time you came to G, you had to think about it. But pretty soon, you did it so many times, G and then C and the F and whatever. My bifocals got in the way there, but amen. It's just automatic. You don't think about why you did it so much. You put that circuitry in the brain. Well, that can happen with good things of God, too. You can get that circuitry. It can be bad. It can be good. But the point is, the brain can be changed. The second thing I want to leave with you, and this is very important, but the brain and the mind are not the same thing. I read something this week, and when I first read it, it's one of those things, you know, you read it and the breaks go on. You just go, poof. You ever read something like that? You go, wow, what was that? And something so simple, but it was so startling. In fact, I'm going to say it to you, and you're going to be startled when you first hear it. Okay? Don't leave, okay? Wait till we get done, all right? God has no brain. Think about that. When I heard that, some things became very, very clear to me. It's a true statement. God has no brain. What is the brain? The brain is that gray matter. It's an organ of the physical body. Scripture has said, God hath not flesh or bone. And with that, if he has no flesh, no bone, he has no gray. God has no brain. I tell you what God does have. He has a mind. You know what that tells us? It tells us, first of all, if God has no brain, he's got a mind. It tells us that the mind and the brain are two different things. That brain is a part of our physical body. The brain is something that is temporal and material. God is a spirit. He does not have material substance. We even call it gray matter. It belongs to the realm of matter, the material universe. God is spirit. He is not matter. He has no brain, but he has a mind. The mind is different from the brain. This will help us if we get a hold of it. And by the way, let me tell you, that also explains something too. Animals have a brain, but they don't have a mind. You see, here's the difference. Since my mind is different than my brain, then my mind can tell my brain things and have my brain do things. So the brain's just the organ. The mind is what God has given me that thinks and feels and wills. That's where we're in the image of God. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus our Lord. Right? But animals, they have a brain, but they don't have a mind. And the difference is, having a mind, we are self-conscious. You know, no animal has ever talked about its brain. It doesn't reflect and say, oh, you know, I can retrain my brain. It doesn't do that. It's because it doesn't have a mind. We have a mind made in the image of God. We can think, we can feel, we can will. And it's herein that our ability is to change our brain. If all we are is brain, how is the brain going to change itself? But if we are mind, then with our mind in the hands of God, in the ways of God, we can change our brain. Hallelujah. We can be rewired. We can retrain. Let me just give you, if I got them there, a little distinction here. The brain is the organ of the body in the head that controls functions. It's gray matter. But the mind is the part of the person that thinks and feels and wills. It's the self-consciousness of the person. Now, here's the very important thing. What the mind does affects the brain. If your mind chooses sin, that will physically affect your physical brain. If your mind chooses to love Jesus, if your mind chooses to worship, that will physically affect the gray matter of your brain. Just like you can worry yourself sick, you can, by worry of your mind, you can cause your body to be sick. By partaking of certain things, by the choice of the mind, you can make the brain sick. And so I want to move on to the next point. The mind changes the brain. Make this statement and you see if it's not true. People always start thinking differently before they start acting and living differently. Is that right? People start thinking different. People that you see, all of a sudden, they go back to the world, this and that. They started thinking that way a long time before they ever left the things of God. The proverb says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. He changes himself by the way he thinks. And so the mind changes the brain. Think different, you'll act different. You know, here's the thing. Sometimes we humans, we develop wrong habits. And I want to tell you, this is a frightening thing, and I want us to really think about, because our minds can choose a certain behavior which will train the brain to develop a habit. We mentioned pornography a while ago. Your brain can choose a behavior that trains the brain to have a habit, a bad habit. The circuitry of that habit is there. And this is frightening. In fact, you know, I've dealt with this a lot, and this helps explain what's going on, because sometimes people can't understand. You know, they've developed this bad habit, and they come to an altar, and they feel the presence of God, and they respond to the Word, and they weep, and they cry out to God, and they feel the burden lifted, but they go out the doors, and immediately the temptation is there. Well, I want to tell you something. It's wonderful. God has forgiven you. But that habit is still there. You can read Romans 7 if you want to know what I'm talking about. That habit that you've developed in your brain is still there. I know God has worked some miracles, and he can do this. He can do this. He's changed the brain right on the spot. But many times he's left us up to us to trust him, to get a hold of the Word, to learn how to get a hold of the Word, to learn how to pray so that through that process he can get rid of the bad habit. And this is what people fail to understand. They've been forgiven of their sin, and God's even sanctified them in that he's given them the desire to get rid of the habit. But to truly get rid of the habit, if God does it miraculously on the spot, do it. God expects us to use our mind to rewire, retrain, change that circuitry of our mind until the bad habit becomes good habits. See, that's what God, you say, well, why doesn't God just miraculously do it every time? And I've already referred to it. It's because he wants us to learn how much we need his Word, how much we need to pray, and that through his Word and praying and worshiping and coming to church, it's through making that decision with our mind, choosing that behavior, then our minds are rewired, and now we've got a good habit instead of a bad one. We can retrain the brain. We can break the bad habits and form new good ones. Somebody said, I'm not sure who, but speaking of the brain, they said this: the more you do it, the more you do it. That's really deep, but it's true. I'll tell you what, the more you pray, the more you'll pray. The more you worship, the more you'll worship. The more you come to church, the more you, why? Because you've made a choice of the mind for a certain behavior, and that behavior establishes a habit, a wiring of the mind. Just like you can be wired to look at pornography and do drugs, you can be wired to read your Bible and attend church and pray. It becomes your thinking process. In fact, just like I don't have to think about G Court anymore, situation arises, you don't even have to think anymore. Well, you know, I really should pray. You'll just pray. You won't say it's Wednesday night. I'm preaching to the choir now. You won't say it's Wednesday night. Let's debate this. Let's think. What should I do on a Wednesday night? What's done on a Wednesday night? Should I shop? Should I do both? No. Your mind has established, chosen a good behavior, and your mind automatically says, it's Wednesday night. I'm going to church. Now I'm going to bring this all to a point. from our scripture tonight. Only a transformed mind will resist the pressure to conform to this world. And by the way, that is a bad brain change when your brain is conforming to the world. And look, this really can happen. This really can happen. Your brain can change until it thinks like the world. It processes things like the world. It really can happen. You've heard this. Did I give you the scripture again, brother? Is it there? You've heard this said before, but the word conformed literally means to be pressed into a mold. There are forces every day. Some of you have already started school or about to start school, work. There are forces every day that are attempting by its pressure to work on us and to press us into the mold of this world. Now, how did Paul say that we don't have to be pressed to the mold? How can we escape those pressures of the world to conform us to the mold of the world? How do we be transformed by the renewing of our mind? And so I'll say once more, there's only one way we can resist the pressure to be conformed to this world, and it's to be renewed in our minds. Be renewed in our minds. Amen. And so I'm going to go back to the statement I made a while ago and bring this down. We start thinking differently before we start acting or living differently. But with a renewed mind, we are thinking the things of God. And so we're not acting the things in conformity to the world. We're acting and living the things of God. In fact, we use a term, a biblical term, a good one, sanctification. But I tell you what, that's what sanctification is. God gets such a hold on us that He changes our mind. And in changing our mind, He changes our will. He changes our desire. He changes the way we feel about things. And having changed our mind, we develop these habits of holy living, of righteous living. When God makes us holy, when God conforms us into the image of His Son, He has changed our minds in such a way that our brains are changed. And with our brains changed, our habits change, our way of living change, our attitudes change, our motives change. Amen. We have holy habits wherein we once had unholy habits. I really believe that. You know, folks, they have unholy habits. But with God, you can have holy habits. Some people habitually think unholy. Well, you can habitually think holy. Last point. Our minds are made right. I said last point. I believe it is. Yes, I didn't want to lie to you. Our minds are made right by what we mind. I'm not meaning a pun here. I'm thinking scriptural. Our minds are made right by what we mind. In other words, our minds change our brains by what we mind. That'll retrain your brain. Let me give you a few scriptures here. Matthew 22. Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart and with all of thy soul." And would you read it with me? "And with all of thy mind." You set your mind on God. You set your mind to love God. Amen. Romans 8:5. I wish I had all night for these verses, but I'm just going to read them. "For they that are after the flesh," why are they after the flesh? Because they what? They mind the things of the flesh. "But they that are after the Spirit," why are they after the things of the Spirit? They mind, it's understood, they mind the things of the Spirit. Verse 6, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is to have a brain retrained to life and peace." You're always after what your mind's on. You'll ultimately go the direction of what your mind's on. So when we mind spiritual things, then our minds will make our brains right. And then, Sister Tricia already read it. One of the scriptures I meditated for this tonight is, "Set your affection on things above." You know, because of our understanding of the word affection today, we think of just feelings. But the root of the word for affection here is brain. And when it says, "Set your affection on things above," it literally means exercise your mind so that it thinks on things above. Have your mind think on things above. And the idea of affection is whatever you put your mind on, there is where your affection is going to be. So do you see how through the mind, the things we mind causes our mind to change literally our brains? Ultimately, we will do, we will be what we set our minds on. Have you ever heard this saying, you can do whatever you set your mind to? It's kind of getting to be an old saying. How many's heard that? You can do what you set your mind to. Well, it's not only can you do what you set your mind to, it's you will do what you set your mind to. We're not talking about impossibilities and being unrealistic with this word. We're talking about in the desires and thoughts, what you set your mind on, that is the thing that you'll do. If we set our mind upon spiritual things, we will be transformed. We will be renewed. We will not succumb to the pressures of this world. If we use our mind to think on God, if we use our mind to engage His Word, then our brain will be trained to have holy, wholesome, holy, and good habits. I think it's time people develop some holy habits by what we mind. One more scripture. You can, most of you quote this. Paul said in Philippians 4, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, say it with me, think on these things. In other words, you put your mind on those things, that's the way you're going to start to act. That's the way you're going to start to be. How many of those things are lauded and showcased in the world? How many of those things are the regular fare of television? Right? What we put our mind to is what our brains will be trained to. So let me just draw some conclusions. Those who've retrained their brains, this is scientifically proven. Listen, they've scientifically proven. We don't need science, but it's an illustration of what God says works. Those that have retrained their brains in spiritual things are always more receptive to God's word when it's preached. I don't know how they actually did that. I don't know if they had them listen to tapes or they had them come to church with the electrodes already on. I don't know. But they found that people who had already applied their mind to reading Scripture and memorizing Scripture, and I'm not just talking that they were more interested, the parts of their brain of affection and interest and motivation would light up. When people had retrained their brain in spiritual things, they were always more receptive when the Word of God was preached. They also found that those who entertained wrong thoughts about God, and believe me, there's some even here tonight that have trouble with this. People that always were thinking of God as being cruel and ready to judge them and ready to just blot them out, they saw a literal process of the amygdala would activate in the brain and produce cortisol, that stress hormones, and those would actually damage the brain, so the brain began to work more poorly. People that entertain bad ideas of God, people that entertain good ideas of God, He's holy, He's loving, He's powerful, He's my Father, He cares for me. It affected their brain, actually produced hormones and circuitry that made the brain function better. Those who let the Spirit move them to speak in tongues. Again, I don't know how, you know, if they just came to church wearing it and that's what had happened, but when people spoke in tongues, they found that the part of their brain that surrendered its will lit up like a bright light. In other words, people that spoke in tongues were people who had surrendered. And they found the brain area lit up. The area when a person's at peace, it lit up when people spoke in tongues. It had such an effect upon the brain. Listen to this. They had folks just think about God as a habitual thing, and they studied their brains, and people who would think about God would have bursts of neural activity, and their brain actually f- physically, this is in the processes, grew because they were thinking about God. Made me think of what Frederick Faber said many years ago. He said, only to think, sit and think of God. Oh, what a joy it is to think the thought, to breathe the name. Earth hath no higher bliss. Just thinking about God caused the brain to grow. Do you think this explains why when people become godless and sinful, they make such dumb decisions? Truthfully, their brain is shrinking. I want to tell you something, and I know I'm speaking rhetorically, but it's true. God will make you smart. Sin will make you dumb. Music, would you come? One of the scientists that I read some after, he said, listen to what he said. I don't even know if he has faith or not in Christ, but he said, you are not stuck with the brain you have. Think about that. He's not talking about brain transplant either. He's talking about what I'm preaching tonight. The brain can be changed by rightful, good choices, the set of the heart, the attitude. So you're not stuck with the brain you have. Now, many would like a greater IQ. How many could say, I could stand a higher IQ? Yeah. But we're not talking about that. What we really need isn't a higher IQ. What we really need is a sanctified mind that changes the habits of the brain. I'd like to have a sanctified mind, wouldn't you? Wouldn't that change everything about us? I want to tell you one more time at the danger of being redundant. Sin will mess up the programming of your mind. But letting God sanctify you will reprogram your mind. Retrain your brain. I heard a preacher preach many years ago. I couldn't get this out of my brain. But many years. And he was preaching about people getting wrong doctrine ideas and wrong concepts. And he said, you know, he was closing his or making the high point of his message. And he was right on. It was a powerful sermon. And it was a church that had altar benches. Big meeting. And he was preaching. He said, you know, I've heard preachers say, you know, come to God and put your life on the altar. Come to God and put your heart on the altar. Come to God and put your habits on the altar. Come to God and put your tongue on the altar if it'll fit. And then he got to preaching, applying his message, and he said, a lot of people, what they need to do is they need to come and put their head on the altar. And he illustrated. He came up and he put his head right there on the altar. Get your head on the altar. You know, I think there's a lot of truth in it. I think we need to get our mind on the altar. Say, God, sanctify my mind. Change the way I think. Change the way I feel. Change the way I choose. And we could have holy habits. Make no mistake. I've got to quit, but make no mistake. People that watch the filth, listen to the filth over and over, their minds are being wired for murder, wired for adultery. I know they have a choice, but their choice was to partake of that. We might as well have our minds wired to worship, wired to seek God, wired to think holy thoughts. My heart is concerned because even in the house of God, people are thinking so wrong. They're justifying sin. They're justifying conformity to the world. A mind given to God doesn't entertain those thoughts. It's retrained. It thinks different. Well, it might have been, it probably was a really odd sermon. Would you stand? So let's have an odd altar call, could we? If you desire a sanctified mind, would you just come say, God, I want you to sanctify my mind. You say, well, I'm not having problems. That's great. We still need the influence of God on our mind and heart. Would you come and find a place to pray? Amen. The only way to resist the conformity to this world is by a transformed mind. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He changed the way I think. He changes the way I feel. He changes the way I do. Change me. Sanctify my mind. Let's just pray honestly before the Lord. Change the way I think. Change me, Lord. Sanctify my spirit, soul, body. Help me to love the Lord God with all of my soul, with all of my strength. But help me love the Lord my God with all of my mind. With all of my mind. Hallelujah.